It's good to see you. We appreciate your presence. I'm trying to find out if we got some visitors. I think we got maybe one or two back there, so we could have them. Luke 15, verses 12 and 13. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. Many people are on a journey that they don't know about. I know I was impressed with my 8th grade science teacher. One day she told the class that we were traveling through space at the rate of 1,000 miles an hour. I didn't realize I was traveling 1,000 miles an hour, and I still don't know where she was right or not. But she said the circumference of the world was 25,000 miles, and it made a turn every 24 hours. That was her explanation. I didn't realize I was on that journey. Still have not been sure about it. But this is one journey that we're on. Every accountable soul is on a journey. And we are going quickly on that journey. And that's our lesson today. We're going to talk about he took his journey. I wish you had time to deal more completely with some of the people that we read about in the scriptures. Enoch made this journey through life, 300 some odd years, and the Bible tells us about it, that he was not, for God took him. One verse describes his life in Hebrews 11:5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he had this testimony, he pleased God. So he made that journey, just like you and I do. The Bible gives a great deal of facts about the second one in this that I want to talk about. That's Abraham. Abraham made this journey through life, and God told us a great deal about him. The Bible says that God called Abraham in Genesis 12 out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and said, get thee up into a land that I will show you. And the record says that he left the Ur of the Chaldees and went as God told him. And God said unto him, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Abraham react to this? The Bible says, so Abraham departed as the Lord has spoken unto him. You don't read much further in the life of Abraham, and you'll find that verse 7, that he said, I will give thee this land, and there builded he an altar. You don't read much further, next verse, and it says he went to Bethel, and he builded an altar unto the Lord. And so you begin to see that Abraham left his country, but it didn't leave his God. He recognized his responsibility to worship and take note of God as God. And as he went further, the Bible says that he carried with him Lot. And the Bible says that things didn't go well, as you know, and they had strife. And the Bible says that Abraham said, let there be not strife between my herdsmen and your herdsmen. All the land is before us. You take what you want, and I'll take what's left. Lot, being the type of person he was making a journey too, but he didn't think like Abraham. That's the way life is. When we go through this life, we don't all think alike. And the Bible says that Lot chose the well-watered plains of Jordan and pitched his tent toward Sodom. And the Bible tells us, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners exceedingly before the Lord. Many people, as they travel through this life, don't give much thought to whom they're traveling with. I hope you realize not only who you're traveling with, but if you've got a teenager or a college student, you certainly need to realize who your children are traveling with. We are affected by them. And so the Bible says the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked. Then the Bible says in verse 18 of chapter 13, then Abraham moved his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. When can you quit building altars to the Lord? When you die. When you die. This life is to be worship and service to God, and if you make it through, then you're going to have to do that. The Bible says that Abraham made this trip. Well, one of the great things, and I'm skipping there, is Genesis 22. The Bible says that God, the King James says, tempted it. A better word be that God tested Abraham. So we learn a principle about life. God's going to test all of us. We're going to talk about some of the ways he does that. But he tested him, and he made test of him. And he said, offer thy son, as you know, upon the altar. I'm glad God didn't require that of me. I'm glad he didn't require it of you. But he did of Abraham. And the Bible says that Abraham did exactly what God told him to do. And the Bible says that there he was, and he built an altar, and that he placed his son upon the altar. And the Bible says that he went to slay his son. And the Bible says that God stopped him. What did God learn? This is what the record says. And God said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. God may cause us to give up things that are dear to us, to test us, to prove us, and to make us stronger, as he did Abraham. Why did he make it through this world? He certainly did. He remained faithful. He looked for a city. Hebrews 11:8 says, Abraham looked for a city. Some of us are looking for the wrong kind of city. But the Bible says Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. We recognize that that's the only city worth having. It matters not what we are in this life in the sense of pride or money or position or even happiness. If we make it and are saved, we've made it. But if we have all kind of earthly honors, earthly accomplishments, and lose our soul, we've lost everything. And so he looked for a city. The Bible says, and Abraham obeyed God. No man is going to heaven that has not obeyed God. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life. And the Bible teaches that like Abraham, every one of us, as we make this journey, are going to be chastened. I don't know how it always comes. We're going to be chastened. I think sometimes we overlook that and we forget that perhaps this is God's way that we can make it. And so the Bible tells about this in Hebrews 12. The Bible says, let us run with patience the sin that is laid before us and lay aside every weight. The race that is right before us, and let aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. It doesn't name that sin, but I believe it's a sin of a lack of faith, not believing every word of God. And the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But I want to read particularly in verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth, that's a word for beating, scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Lord chasteneth? But if you be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of the flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? The Bible says, for no chastening seems joyous for the present, but grievous. It is a hard thing sometimes it is. What did Abraham do as he endured chastening? He followed the plan that's given here in Hebrews 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands with hanging down. Did you ever see anybody that walked around with their hands hanging down all the time? So besides Bobby? That means you're not doing anything. You're not doing anything. Now, sometimes people walk around with all kind of tools on their person and in their hands, and they're still not doing anything. But you can be sure, if your hands just hang down all the time, you're not accomplishing very much in this life. And so, then the Bible says, make straight paths for your feet. That means you know where you're going. Now, when you go somewhere, we went to singing the other night, and we had some directions, and we went this way, and we went that way, and we went that way, and we went that way, and back that way. We didn't make any straight paths. We did not know where we were going or how to get there. A man that makes straight paths knows where he's going and is determined to follow that. That's Christianity. You've got to have one goal in this life, save your soul. It may cost you your family. It may cost you your health. It may cost you your freedom. It may cost you your life. What does it matter? I know when I stand here like say that, you think, well, he's brave. No, I'd be just as coward as anybody else. But I realize that that's absolutely the truth. Then it says in the next verse, the next part of the plan, follow peace with all men and holiness. You got to make peace with God. Then you got to make peace with all men you possibly can. And holiness, that means you set yourself apart from God. But don't forget this verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. You cannot become bitter about life and make it to heaven. Elder brother had a bad case of bitterness. It really was a bad case. Judas had a bad case of bitterness. He thought that things weren't going the way they should have gone. And we'd go on and on. And so he followed the plan. Now we look at ourselves and we ask the question, what have we come to? Hebrews 12:22 says, we've come to heavenly Jerusalem. What does that mean? Heavenly Jerusalem is no doubt meaning the church of our Lord God Savior Jesus Christ. We're not looking for an earthly Jerusalem. You know, the Crusades were an amazing story of history. If you studied history, the history of the world for some 200, 300 years can be described, as far as nations is concerned, in crusades. Every nation is going to go to the promised land and take it over. For what? They didn't know for what. Did God want them to? Most certainly not. But we've come to the heavenly Jerusalem. We don't care about an earthly city. We don't care about an earthly church. We don't care about an earthly blessing in comparison to the heavenly. We've come to the heavenly Jerusalem. Then it says the church of the firstborn, which means the church of the Lord, for firstborn from the dead. That's what we've come to. When you understand that, then you begin to understand the mission that we're talking about. And that is the journey through here. Abraham continued this journey. Lot got sidetracked. He didn't recognize that he was looking for a better city than Sodom. And so he went to Sodom. And you remember the story. The men of the city came out and tried to get Lot's to put out the angels that he had taken in, and of course the great sin of homosexuality is described in this passage. But he got out of Sodom alive. If you're a family man, y'all read about Lot's sojourning in Sodom. It tells you a lot about it. He got out alive, but he didn't get out unscarred. The Bible says, when he came out, God gave him one command, don't look back. You can't look back and long for what you cannot have. And so he looked back, and the Bible says, his wife looked back, excuse me, she turned to a pillar of salt. Lot kept going, that was good. His daughters, which are with him, some of them died in the city, the Bible says, went with him. And then they got their father drunk and committed incest with him. Now that came the two most wicked nations of the Old Testament, the Amorites and the Moabites. And so Lot came out scarred. And as we journey through this life, what we do is liable to scar our children and our family. And we ought to recognize that. And so we've come to the church of the fourth, to Jesus and the new covenant. We're not walking according to the Old Testament. We studied that clearly in class. We don't offer animal sacrifices. What do we offer? The Bible says, present your body as a living sacrifice unto God. Not only says that, because he says it is your reasonable service. You've been bought and paid for. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, if you're a Christian, which you have of God. You're not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body. But not only that, also in your spirit, which are God's. That's our job as we go through this journey. And then we received a kingdom that cannot be moved. There's never been a kingdom on this earth that cannot be moved, save one. Every kingdom. When you study history, I hope you become a student of world history, because he that is ignorant of the past is more likely to commit the same mistakes others did. If you got a brother or sister, they got their driver's license 16, and they run over 3 mailboxes the next day or two, learn something when you get to be 16, you get your driver's license. You probably will have to learn to drive before somebody turns you loose. It don't just come naturally. They're taking notes on my driving now. They're trying to compare to see if I'm safe. I told them, I'm not going to give up my license. I'm going to be like a good brother out there the way he was. He drove to his 93. Of course, he backed over several trees, and he took his van and backed across the road in front of me several times, but he kept on driving. I would see him sometimes at singings way across town, and so when he come this way, I went that way because I didn't want to be on the highway with him. But you know, when we take responsibility, we need to do that, and so we need to recognize that we can do some things and some things we cannot. And so this is what? A kingdom that cannot be moved. All the rest of them can be changed, and things of this world do change. The average age of nations is 200 years, if you follow the history books, and they come and go. And there have been nations that rule the whole world. They're not here anymore. But the church is still here. Now this congregation may fail, but the church of Christ is not going to fail. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, and it shall never be destroyed. But it shall break in pieces and consume all the nations of the earth, and it shall stand forever. Signed, God, guaranteed. The kingdom is going to be there. The question is, am I going to be in it faithful? That's what it is. We're receiving a kingdom which got to be moved. And the next thing is, we have a God that loves us. I wish I could try to illustrate this, but I always fail when I get down to here, because I know I cannot reach down. I cannot imagine God giving his son to die for me. I know it's the truth, but I can't come up with it. And I can't come up with dying by crucifixion. I guess all of us wish that we could control the way we die. I won't die before my mind's gone, and so you say you got to die pretty quick. But I would like to do that. I want to die when my wife dies, and I'd like to do that. I believe I know my heart well enough to know that. But, I'm just about there. Your journey is, some of you just starting. Some of you are halfway through. Some of you may be closer to the end of it than I am, though. So you've got to keep that in mind. But as you go on your journey, we need to know God loves us. How much did he love us? He gave his son. He gave him to die on Calvary. Do you ever think about crucifixion? Crucifixion was so cruel that you could not crucify a Roman citizen no matter what he'd done. It was not lawful to put a Roman citizen to death. Some of them hung on the trees for 3 or 4 or 5 days, pushed up with ever against the nails in their feet and hands with every breath they took, the only way they could breathe. Jesus hung there. He never sinned. He never wronged individual. He never broke a law of God. He did nothing to deserve it. And so he hung. And the Bible says he looked down at those that were crucifying and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They weren't forgiven automatically. In Acts, the second chapter, when they did what God told them to do, they were forgiven. Peter said to that crowd, ye have taken, and with wicked hands ye have crucified the Son of God. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? The answer is clear, it's the same thing to us. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of your sins. That was the answer. So we have a God that loves us. Not only did He love us, He provided a way for us to get out of this world alive and go to heaven. And He built for us a city that we can't even think about. And so some didn't make it, and some did. As we make our journey through, some just don't make it. In Luke 16, I was going to read this, but I don't have the time. The Bible tells you about two men. The Bible says these two men were here, and one of them was a beggar. They have nothing. And the Bible says he was laid daily at rich man's gate. He couldn't walk. And the Bible says the dogs come and licked his sores. Bible says no man gave unto him. But you know he was better off than the other man. There was a certain rich man who fared sumptuously every day. It reminds me of many Americans. The journey's going well. We're getting good food, good clothing, and having a good time. And the Bible says, and came to pass that the beggar died. His journey was complete. And he was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. His life journey was over. And the rich man died also. And the next verse says, and he was in the flames. He was in flames. And he was hollering for mercy. And the Bible says that he was there. Now, they didn't make it. The Bible tells us about a number of people that don't make it to heaven. Revelation 21:8, there we have a description of people that's not going to make it. But the fearful, that's the people that's afraid to try, don't have enough faith to fight against the evils of this world. The unbelieving, ones that won't believe God. The abominable, that's the hateful. Murderers, whoremongers. Isn't that strange that that's male prostitutes and we have a problem with that? And sorcerers, that's false religion. And idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's the end of their journey. Some didn't make it, and we know some that didn't. But thanks be to God that some did make it. Some did make it. The Bible tells about Timothy's mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice. And it tells it in words that we recognize that they made it through this world in a saved condition. When I call to mind the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy mother Lois and thy grandmother Eunice, and I am persuaded it is in thee also. The world needs ladies like that in our time. They made it through. They did. And so, of course, they journeyed and they made it. And we can take pride in that. Then the Bible tells a story about Stephen. And the Bible says that Stephen became a deacon. That's all we know about him. Until we get to the fact that he preached. And he preached, as far as we know, one sermon. And they killed him. But he made it through successful. Had a short career as a preacher. And that's the way we can look at it. But I want to talk a little bit about David. David's journey in the Bible is told to us, and it illustrates so many, many things. He started out, as you young people know, and we're told that he was a keeper of sheep. We're told that he was sent on an errand down to the army. The Philistines were fighting the Israelites, and his father sent him with some food. I think it was cheese. And as he got there, he saw this giant come out and defy the armies of Israel, as all of you know, and said, send me down a man to fight against him, and if he can overcome, we'll be your servants. And the Bible says the Israelites all run off and hid. But David said, I'll go fight the giant. Nobody took him seriously because he was on his journey and he didn't look like he had any power at all. Power in your heart is different from what the power of your physical body is. The Bible says that they caught him and took him to Saul, the king, and Saul looked at him and kind of sniggered and said, "You're just a youth, and they are men of war from their youth. You can't go and fight him." And he told King Saul, he said, "I was keeping the sheep, and there came out a bear. And I killed the bear." I doubt if Saul believed him. But anyway, the Bible says that he allowed him to go. And he went down. Of course, his brothers made fun of him too and said, "You've come down to see the battle." You know the story. He ran toward that giant and cut his head off. That was the beginning of the life of David. What a great way to begin. It wasn't all that good. The Bible says that David grew up faithful to God, and he fought many battles. But it also tells the story of the sins of that great man, and evidently he was able to overcome them. In the 19th chapter of the book of 2 Samuel, there is one of the most sad stories in all the Bible. I don't have time to go over it, but it's a story of Absalom and his rebellion. And it's a result of David's sin. And Absalom rebelled and committed adultery before Israel with some of the wives of David. But I want to read to you, go back about this, because here is the way it happened in David's life as he journeyed. And it'll happen in ours. We're all going to sin. The question is, how are we going to handle it as we journey through life? How are you going? If you're a Christian, you're going to sin. You're going to need to do the very best you can and turn away. Nathan said to David, David had taken, of course, Bathsheba to be his wife, killed him with the swords of his own men. And the prophet came and said to David, "Thou art the man." God's people tell people what's wrong. They don't preach about the weather. They don't worry about politics. They worry about getting right with God. "Thou art the man." And he said, "I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom. I gave thee the house of Israel of Judah. And if it hadn't been too little, I would have given thee such and such more things. Wherefore thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight, and hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife." Now, isn't that sad? Sin takes a real price on life. Verse 10, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house." You made this journey and you made a sad mistake. And your family was going to suffer for it. Then 11, "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. And I will take thy wives and give them unto thy neighbor. And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst this thing secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel." And David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." So he confessed his sin, turned from it. And then the Lord said, Nathan said, "The Lord hath put away thy sin." But that did not remove the consequences of his sin. We all know in life that the consequences of the mistakes we make sometimes become very, very severe. We can be saved, but the consequences of sin stay with us. And so we look then at these boys that I want to close this with. There was the prodigal son. The Bible says that he said, "Give me that portion of goods which falleth to me." And the Bible says he departed unto them his living. God has given us whatever abilities and whatever blessings we have. And so he's given us, and we have a journey here to make. And the Bible says that he went into a far country and wasted his substance and riotous living. And the Bible says that he began to be in want, and no man gave unto him. And the Bible says he would fain have filled his stomach with the husks which the swines did eat. He would eat hog food. And that's what a lot of people in this world are eating. Slop. Filth. anything of this world they're taking into their system. And the Bible says that no man gave to him. And the Bible says he came to himself. He finally realized God loved him. And he said, my father has blessings enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. And I will say to my father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And he arose and went. You know the story. The father saw him coming a long way off. And the father said, bring hither the robe and put on him, and the ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. Kill the fatted calf, for this my son was dead and is alive again. And they begin to be merry. God will stop heaven when a Christian comes home. But you know the consequence of that sin is really told somewhat in the rest of the story. The Bible says the elder brother came in from the field, been working. He heard the party going on, and he inquired of some of the servants what was happening. And the Bible says he was told that your father has received that brother safe and sound, and he's made a great party for him. And the Bible says he would not go in, and his father went out and treated him. But he was angry and would not go in. Isn't it sad that after we have lived through life, we just will not come back to God? And so he stayed outside and was eternally lost. He did not handle sin in the right way. The Bible says he was angry. He would not listen to God. God sent John the Baptist to preach and make ready for Jesus Christ. John came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And as he came preaching, the Bible tells us some kind of surprising things that he said. The Bible says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. In other words, change your ways and prove that you live differently. There's no just partly changing in life. You just turn it all down and live for God. There's no need of you obeying the gospel if you're not going to live the life of the Lord Christ and put the church first. If you're not planning on doing that, don't ever obey the gospel, because that's what happens. You become a Christian and you live, you try to attend every service. You try to study. You try to be like Christ. You'll fail and have to repent and come back. But if you're not going to change, that you're not going to bring any fruits worthy of repentance. And so that's what this one was told to do. And so the Bible says that he said, I indeed baptize you with water, but there cometh one mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. The same shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, whose fan is in his hand. Now listen to this. He will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So many people not willing to turn around, obey the gospel, or as a Christian turn from their sin and become faithful to God. And I want to plead with you to think about it. Your journey and my journey we're making. And the question is, I'm taking my journey and you're taking yours. And where are you on this journey? One day, we'll wake up. Actually, the journey is from here to eternity. That's when it'll close, when eternity starts. Here to eternity. If you're not ready to meet God, God loves you. He asks forgiveness if you'll obey the gospel, hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, or if you'll come as a Christian and confess your sins. If you need to do that, let nothing stop you. Turn around and live for God. And do it now while we stand and while we sing.